Word on Today FM.
We enjoyed Judith Boyle's beers so much the other day, we've asked her back again because she's not just an expert in beer, but as beverages lecturer at TU Dublin, she knows all about spirits as well. So we've got vodka, gin, poutine, whiskey and cream liqueur to talk about in this section. And if I'm tasting all of these, I am going to be goggle-eyed by the time we're finished. But on behalf of the Last Word listener, these are the sacrifices I'm going to have to make.
Exactly.
Start with a vodka for me, please.
Yeah, so we're going to start off with Lochree Distillery. So this is their whippy vodka. This is a vanilla vodka and Irish. So we're focusing primarily on Irish produce, perfect for gifting. This works amazingly in relation to coffee martinis or espresso martinis or anything that you kind of would need other flavoured vodka. They use pure vanilla pods in it, so you get lots of vanilla notes.
I love the smell of vanilla off it.
Yeah, really lovely. It's bright, fresh, and then works really well with Coke as well. So if you just wanted to
mix it with... I was just going to ask what you'd mix it with.
Yeah, so if you wanted it just as an ordinary drink, you could mix it with Coca-Cola. If you...
Would you drink it neat and straight?
You could neat. It's very clean. So the spirit itself is really... pure, so there's no back harshness to it that sometimes you associate with vodka.
I'm sort of anxious about it because I have to admit in the past vodka used to drive me mad, which is why I haven't drunk a vodka in God knows how many years. It smells lovely. Do you know what? I'm going to put that one aside and not taste it if you don't mind, because I'm going to save myself for the others.
That's allowed. Okay. Yeah, but it is. It's a really good, clean vodka. And it, as I said, works really well as a substitution to espresso martinis and everything else.
That comes from the Lochree Distillery. How much would that cost about for a bottle?
It is about €34.
Okay. Let's go to gin. And you've got from County Fermanagh.
County Fermanagh. So we are starting with Boatyard Gin. Now I have this in two ways for you. I have it as a pure gin, and then I also have made it into a martini with Valencia Vermouth in the martini as well. So,
ooh, that is a kick. I've taken the straight.
Yes. Yeah.
God, that has a kick off it.
It does have a kick. So we're at 47%.
Christ,
sorry. So it makes a perfect martini. It is called their double gin because of the way that they distill it. So they put gin and juniper in it twice. So juniper is the main botanical in gin. And you get that really lovely, fresh, kind of grassy aroma to it. And then you get that really nice bitterness from the juniper at the end.
So now tell us, what have you put into the martini though, which I'm now going
to the martini is just a stirred martini, not shaken, unlike James Bond. And
what's the difference?
So there's loads of theories behind it. One of them is that when you shake a cocktail, you dilute it a little bit more than you would when you stir it, and James Bond needed to be on his
high alert
at all times, so they say that he
like me presenting this radio program for the rest of the time, and that's not necessarily going to be the case.
So this is just mixed with a little bit of Valentia Island Vermouth, which is an Irish product made in Valentia Island.
Very sour tasting, isn't it?
Yeah, so it will bring back the kind of the more citrus, the sour elements to it, with a slight... A little bit of lime would be, or lemon would be lovely on it.
I think lime would be a lovely addition to it. Okay, that is lovely. That's the Boatyard Double Gin from County Fermanagh, which is about €42, is
it? That's about €42.
And then you have one from Glendalough.
And then I have one in from Glendalough. So this is their Rose Gin, or their Wild Rose Gin. Again, I have some tonic water if you want to mix it, but I really don't think it does. Most people will mix a gin, but this is beautiful. They use wild roses from it, yeah. And it's a lovely story. The roses came from the distiller's mother's garden, and it's kind of embodies her. And it's a beautiful colour as well.
I'm actually going to put a little drop of tonic into this. How much tonic do you recommend putting into it?
So you should you usually will serve a 35.5 mil, and then you usually double it with the tonic. So it's usually about 70 mils half it. So you're bringing the percentage down from about 37.5% to about 20 or just under 20.
That works beautifully with the tonic in it.
It really does. it brightens up. You get those floral. And what I really love about it is that the rose isn't too overpowering in it. It's really subtle. And it just gives you that lovely floral fragrance to it too.
Oh, that is lovely. That really is nice. Okay, that's... Yeah, the Glendalough Wild Rose Irish Gin with a bit of tonic in it. Lovely. Right. I'm nearly scared by the next thing you have in front.
This is pure Irish. So this is Mickle Poitchin. And Poitchin is our start of our spirit journey in Ireland. It means little pot. It was the way that we would have distilled back, way back, hundreds of years ago. And it was our first distilled product. And then it aged is what we basically make with our whiskies. So we'll talk about the whiskies later. But this is from Mickle Distillery in Galway. They use a historic family recipe in making the poitchin. They use a flour called bog bean in it, which gives it a really lovely grassy note to it. And then they use malted barley in it as well. So you get a really lovely depth of flavour as a non-aged spirit.
How much alcohol in this?
It is, I now need to check. So it's a little bit higher on alcohol. It's only 44%.
Is that all?
Yeah, only 44%.
Okay, I'm anxious because I remember my father many years ago had an illegal bottle of poitchin in the house, which himself and my mother went away for a few days and myself and a couple of friends went at the poitchin. And it was one of the worst experiences. I think I might have been about 17 or so at the time. And I remember trying to fill up the bottle afterwards with water to try and cover how much of it had actually gone, which didn't work, obviously, enough.
I would doubt that it would work.
Yeah.
Because even the smell of poitchin is very distinctive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of almost anxious. You've given it to me straight. Would you dilute this in any way?
Yeah. So it works really well in cocktails. Any, like if you're working with an Irish margarita, it works really well. So replacing your tequila with poitchin. It gives you those grassy notes that you get with agave spirits as well, which is really good. And then I gave you some fluorescent lemonade so that it will just...
So I could put some of this in with the poitchin.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a... Yeah, that might, that'll definitely dilute the taste, won't
dilute
it?
Dilute it a little bit.
Only a little bit. That strong, is that right?
But
okay.
The flavour profile in poitchin is really lovely. It's what we are. It's the land that we came from.
And I suppose I should probably, under broadcasting rules, say I'm not endorsing the idea of drinking anything at the age of 17, let alone poitchin. Suddenly realised I probably shouldn't have. The smell actually is bringing back bad memories, but that's just me probably. So you're saying this is good. Okay.
This is good.
Okay.
And Mickle do a really lovely job with it. They have really worked on the recipe. It's really lovely. It's very smooth.
God, it is smooth.
It's really smooth.
Now that I've got this in with it, that's actually lovely.
Yeah, and I think the problem is with poitchin that because it was illegal for so long, so it was fully, it was allowed to be produced in a distillery in 1997. And then since then, we've had our new distilleries making poitchin legally. But I think that a lot of Irish people have that idea of that illegal poitchin that mightn't have been made very well. There was some illegal poitchin that was made very well, but some of it not so. So it is about kind of educating people. And I just think that it is a drink that is Ireland.
And that is lovely.
Yeah, it's got a lovely history to it. It's got a lovely story to it. It's about rebellion. It's about... you know, the whole idea of when it became illegal was the fact that people were doing it like moonshine in the mountains, and the whole idea of Mountain Dew. So it's got a real like heart throb, I think, as a drink.
Okay, and lemonade in it. Genuine lemonade.
Yeah, I think like not the sugary lemonade stuff, but I think it just works really well with a really like lemon and a little bit of sparkle.
That's one of the most pleasant surprises I've had in a while. I really
Excellent.
Like that. Very good. Okay. Take me to whiskey, though. I always like a drop of whiskey at this time of year.
So we're
and
now...
You've brought a few with you. Excellent.
I have. I've bought three whiskies with us, and they are all pot still whiskies. So the idea was that pot still, like our Irish poitchin, is what we are famous for in Ireland. So you can make whiskey anywhere, but Irish pot still is a GI product for us. So Irish whiskey is a GI product, but the pot still is what we do best. So it is usually a mixture of malted barley and unmalted barley, which makes it indigenous to Ireland, and then usually a little bit of something else, be it oats or rye. In general. So the first two are from newer distilleries on the market. So the first one you have is Clonakilty. So Clonakilty based in Cork. And this is their first release of their own spirit. So when the Irish whiskey distilleries started or re-merged in Ireland, a lot of them didn't have their own spirit. So they were buying in spirit from other distilleries. And now that they have been established for three, four, 5 years, Irish whiskey has to be the age for 3 years. It is now a case that you're getting their own spirit. So they're now putting a little bit of more of their character into it. You get a little bit more of a house style. Clonakilty's aging process is really interesting because they're right beside the sea, so you get a little bit of salinity in the whiskey as well. And I think it's really lovely. Like, it's quite a young whiskey, but it doesn't taste as young.
No, it's lovely. It is actually lovely. Yeah. It's got its, how would I describe it? What's the taste coming off it?
It's got loads of those kind of like fresh notes to it. Even a little bit of citrus, and then it's got those kind of dried fruits at the end.
Slightly smoky?
Slightly smoky, but they don't use smoked in it.
It's
It's purely from the wood that they've aged it in and the aging process. In Ireland, we're really lucky, or unlucky, some people say, but because of our climate, we have pretty much the same temperature all year round. So when whiskey matures, it matures very evenly. While if we were in Barbados or someplace aging rum, it would age more quickly.
I'm drinking this straight. What would you recommend to put into that?
So the next three, I would just drink them straight. A little bit of water if you want to, a little bit of ice, but they work really well straight.
Okay, that would be my preference normally. Yeah. Okay. Give us the next one, please. By the way, how much is a bottle of the Clonakilty single pot still Irish whiskey?
It is approximately €60.
Okay.
Yeah. So still the next one and this and the Bowan, they're reasonably priced. It's a good present if you know somebody who wants whiskey. And it's a little bit of our new Irish whiskey heritage as well.
So the Bowan single pot still Irish whiskey from the Marsala cask in Drogheda. Tell us about this.
Yes. So we're trying their Marsala cask. They've launched three, one in a PX, one in a Marsala, and one in Madeira. Historically, we would have imported a huge amount of fortified wines from lovely far off places. And when we drank those fortified wines, we needed something else to put in the barrels, and that was our Irish whiskey. So we used to put Irish whiskey in those barrels and then they used to be aged. So we've got a very good relationship with the fortified. This Marsala cask is from a very good Marsala producer, and you can taste it in the whiskey. So it was aged in ex-bourbon. So mostly we age first age in ex-bourbon. So that gives a little bit of vanilla. And then the Marsala gives a really lovely umami finish to it.
That's lovely.
Yeah, really lovely. Yeah.
Oh, that is so smooth.
So smooth.
But yet the burn is going down at the same time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So we're at 47%. So it is a little bit higher in the alcohol content, but it's lovely. It's really smooth. It gives you that little bit of warming in the inside.
Oh,
of you.
I'm feeling warm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That is gorgeous.
Yeah. Which is just really nice, I think.
Yeah.
And this is in a relatively new distillery too. So this is their proper first release of their own whiskey, which is great.
And then your more expensive bottle.
Yes. So this is from an older distillery. So this is from Redbreast. And Redbreast have been around for a long time. So they're part of Irish Distillers or Pernod Ricard. And they make amazing whiskey. And a lot of the new distilleries have learned from them. I think it's a lovely thing. Both the beer and the distillery in Ireland have been really lovely with sharing knowledge and sharing experience. And this is their PX cask. So I love Pedro Ximénez, which is a sherry.
Sherry, that's what I was about to say, because I'm smelling this. And
so
it's
I brought in a
sweet sort of smell off it, almost as if close relationship to a sherry.
Yeah, and I brought in a example of a PX just on its own so that you can kind of match it. Now, this is very sweet. But historically, we would have had quite a lot of...
So I've got to taste this before I taste the whiskey,
yes.
Is it? Okay, right.
Yes, so this is... Gonzalo Barrios, Pedro Ximenez. So Pedro Ximenez is a style of grape or a variety of grape. And what they do is they age it, they dry it out on straw mats so that it concentrates all the fruit flavours in it. So you get all those dried fruit notes to it.
Is it almost like fig?
It's very fig-like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you get lots of fig, you get lots of prune.
Prune, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
And it works really well. And then they age their sherry in barrels, and then our lovely Irish whiskey takes the barrels when they're finished with them and then ages in our barrels.
I didn't expect to like that, but that is lovely. Now, you wouldn't drink a lot of that, would you?
No, not drink a lot of it. It is very sweet, but it works amazingly with vanilla ice cream on a side.
Okay, that's what it is. So anyway, bring me back to the whiskey now
yes.
that I'm going to have.
So this is
the whiskey has been aged in those casks.
The whiskey has been aged in those casks. So you get your standard amazing red breasts liquid, and then it's been aged in full PX cask, so you get all those fig and prune and what we would historically say is like sherry finish on it.
Okay. Oh, that's so smooth.
So smooth. It's a, like, it's amazing. Like, Redbreast is a great whiskey, and what they've been doing in the last couple of years are doing different versions and different editions of the standard Redbreast. And it is a case like Redbreast 12 have won Whiskey of the World for a number
that's
of years.
That's beautiful whiskey.
It is beautiful. Yeah. And really, like, reasonably priced. It sells for about 100 to 110 euro. So again, a really lovely present, but not a hugely expensive present.
That is either. Gorgeous. Let's finish off by moving to cream liqueurs. And I suppose everyone thinks of Baileys, but there are lots of alternatives, aren't there?
There are lots of alternatives. And again, we've gone through all our GI products, or our geographical indicator products. We've had our poutine, we've had our Irish whiskey, and now we have our Irish cream liqueur. So you can only make Irish cream liqueur in Ireland. We invented the whole cream liqueur category, which I think is kind of amazing for a little country. So all those other countries that are making tequila creams and everything else, we invented the whole mechanism, how it works and production of it. You mentioned Baileys. So Baileys is 50 years this year. So it's the 50th anniversary of Irish cream liqueur, which is kind of amazing to have a drink that long.
It is. Now this one has lovely flavours coming off the smell of it. Is it sort of butterscotch or caramel?
Butterscotch, caramel, a little bit of nuttiness too. So we are drinking Five Farms Irish cream liqueur, again from County Cork. I've just noticed a lot of my drinks are from Cork. And
Ireland's finest county.
Irish finest county. And the idea of Five Farms came from the fact that Johnny Hart is very passionate about the cows. And you can't have an Irish cream liqueur without having the cream and the dairy from Irish cows. So the cows come from Five Farms in Cork. It takes on the Atlantic Way. So you get all those kind of the same as I was talking about Clonakilty. You get those kind of like grassy and salty notes to it. And then it's beautiful. You get vanilla, you get butterscotch, a little bit of Belgian waffle at the end.
It is lovely.
It is lovely.
So smooth.
And because of those, like it is proper cream. So you get that lovely round mouthfeel on it. It's a little bit sweet, but it's beautiful at the end of a dinner, end of a meal. Category of Irish cream liqueur increased during the pandemic because everybody just wanted a hug and a glass. And I think that's just what it is.
Judith, you may even have outdone the beers that you gave us the other day. They're a terrific amount of spirits. A fantastic way to finish our Christmas drink specials here on The Last Word. Judith Boyle, beverages lecturer in TU Dublin. And where will you get all of these? Are these all easily available?
These are all easily available, in off licences, in bars around the country. So ask.
Judith Boyle, thank you. The Last Word on Today FM.